It's a pleasure to be with so many fellow priests and young seminarians. And so many dedicated, good lay people who are so pro-life. When I come to give a talk, I tell the people, I'm not here to give a talk. I come here to teach you how to fish. And I'm going to leave behind my fishing reel, my rod, my bait. And when I finish, I want you to go fishing. And when I come back, I want to see the fish that you caught. I learned this from my master. Our Lord took the 12 men and told them he was going to make them fishers of men. And once they learned, in 3 years he took off. And he said, it's your job now. You know, in the scriptures, in the office these days, you're reading about Joshua. And Joshua took over from Moses. And the Lord said, I'll be with you. But there's a condition. I don't want you to sway from the left or the right. I want you to be absolutely speak the truth.
Yo quiero que tú hables absolutamente toda la verdad.
And be fearless in doing it. Have no fear. have no fear. And the power is with God.
El poder está con Dios.
And he came across the city of Jericho.
Y ese fue la ciudad de Jericó.
And the Lord, the captain of the host of the army of God, met him. The leader of God's army met him. And he told Joshua, to all you have to do is walk around the city for 7 days. And on the seventh day, seven times. And blow your horns and carry the Ark of the Covenant. Let the people go behind you, and the walls will come tumbling down. Basically, that's what I'm going to tell you to do. It's interesting, you know, Gideon was chosen by God. And it was against to overcome the Midianites. And again, God told Gideon, I need very few people. But you just have to do what I tell you. He ended up using 300. And again, they took the pots and the pans and the torches and so forth. And on the end of towards the end of the third watch, God said, blow the horns, break the pots. And we're told that in the city itself, in the camp itself, and they start to kill each other. The power was God's. What you're going up against is not a flesh and blood. We have to remember that the culture of life started in the Garden of Eden. And the culture of death started in the Garden of Eden. The devil inspired our first parents to emphasize freedom separated from truth. freedom without limitations.
Libertad sin limitaciones.
And they listened.
Y ellos escucharon.
And the culture of death started.
Y la cultura de la muerte empezó.
And their own children started to kill each other.
Y empezaron a matarse entre ellos.
But we were promised a culture of life in the same garden.
Pero nos prometió la cultura de la vida en el mismo jardín.
God said, I will send a woman and her son.
Y Dios dijo, enviaré a la mujer y al hijo.
And her son will crush the head of the serpent. It takes some time to realize this. You will never defeat the culture of death by any amount of human means. You need the woman and her son. Now, I had been involved actively in the pro-life movement in America for 46 years. Actually, in 1967, before it was legalized in New York, we tried to stop it. Actually, a man, abortion has never been voted through by the people in America. Abortion has never been voted for by the people of any country in the world. It's always imposed, either by courts or by politicians that could be bought.
O por políticos que pueden ser votados.
It's not something that is normal and natural.
No es algo que es normal o natural.
Well, it happened that in New York State, we were the first to legalize abortion.
Nosotros fuimos en el estado de Nueva York los primeros con los que se legalizó el aborto.
Through 6 months.
Hasta los 6 meses.
Actually, by 72, it was repealed.
Y en 1972 eso fue rechazado.
But the governor vetoed it.
Pero el gobernador hizo un veto.
And then in 73, Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court decision.
Y en 1973, la decisión de la Corte Suprema de los Estados Unidos, Roe v. Wade,
restricted any state in the United States from stopping abortions.
Restringió y ninguno de los estados de los Estados Unidos pudo detener el aborto.
Now, you may think that the abortion culture started with that Supreme Court decision.
Tal vez muchos de ustedes piensan que el aborto empezó con esa decisión de la Corte de los Estados Unidos.
You may think that that was the beginning of the culture of death.
Tal vez ustedes piensan que ese fue el inicio de la cultura de la muerte.
You would be wrong.
Y ustedes estarán incorrectos.
That decision was the end of the culture of life.
Esa decisión fue el fin de la cultura de la vida.
And it was the total victory of the culture of death.
Fue una victoria de la cultura de la muerte.
You see, in America,
en los Estados Unidos,
we believe that the right to life
came
from God.
Viene de Dios.
It was absolute, no exceptions.
No había ninguna excepción en absoluto.
And the quality of a person's life
la calidad de vida
was relative.
Era relativa.
Okay. No matter what the quality of a person's life,
no importaba la calidad de la persona que tuviera.
No one on the face of the earth had the power to take that person's innocent life. The Supreme Court decision of Roe v. Wade changed everything upside down. If you read the print, the small print, it said this: since the unborn child is not yet capable of meaningful existence, meaningful existence is quality of life language. We will not yet protect it. What I'm emphasizing is this: that the culture of death makes the quality of life the absolute value, and the sacredness of life
is relative
to the quality of your life as determined by others, not by you. So the unborn child,
entonces, el niño no nacido,
the court said,
la corte dice,
they divided the period of gestation into three trimesters.
Entonces, dividieron el periodo de gestación en tres trimestres.
And as the quality of the child's life improved,
y así como, entonces, a través de tres trimestres, la calidad de vida del niño mejoró,
it then became more possible that the state would protect it.
Entonces, se va haciendo más posible que el Estado lo proteja.
And not until it was born would it be protected.
Y no va a ser hasta que nazca que podrá ser protegido.
Birth has nothing to do with being a human being.
El nacimiento no tiene nada que ver con ser un ser humano.
We know today with modern molecular biology,
nosotros sabemos hasta el día de hoy por la biología molecular,
that a person is a human being genetically from the first moment of its existence or it never will be.
Que una persona es una persona desde el momento de su existencia, del primer momento de su existencia, o nunca lo será.
It doesn't have to look human.
No se tiene que ver humano.
It is human.
Es humano.
So what they did was they said they divided the child in the womb into what they called three trimesters, and each trimester there was a more of a reason needed before killing the child.
Entonces ellos dividieron ese periodo en tres trimestres, entonces en esos tres trimestres, así como iba avanzando, se necesitaba una razón más para matar al niño.
But eventually the court decided you could kill the child within 9 months.
Pero entonces luego la corte decidió tú puedes matar al niño en cualquiera de los 9 meses.
Now after you're born,
después de que tú naces,
as the quality of your life goes down,
así como la, cuando la calidad de tu vida va disminuyendo,
and you don't look too human anymore,
y tú ya no te ves más humano,
your right to life goes too.
Tu derecho a la vida se va también.
So we now have euthanasia.
Entonces tenemos la eutanasia.
And the what happened with that decision, Judeo-Christian beliefs about every life being from God and sacred,
los judeocristianos creemos que la vida viene de Dios y es sagrada,
and with an absolute right to life,
había, es un derecho absoluto a la vida,
it was ended.
Se terminó.
The quality of life,
la calidad de la vida,
was now what was sacred,
era lo que es sagrado,
absolute,
absoluto.
And your right to life depended on that.
Y tu derecho a la vida depende de eso, de la calidad de vida.
It was the exclusion of God.
Fue la exclusión de Dios.
It was a loss of anyone who's in the laboratories now.
Ahora, cualquiera que está en el laboratorio.
You do know in the fertility clinics.
¿Tú sabes, en las clínicas de fertilidad?
No child is implanted in the womb of a mother.
No, ningún niño se implanta en el vientre de una mujer.
If it fails the test.
Si falla la prueba.
What test?
¿Qué clase de prueba?
There's a pre-implantation genetic test.
Es una prueba genética preimplantatoria.
And if you're not found genetically perfect,
y si tú no eres genéticamente perfecto,
you are destroyed.
Tú eres destruido.
In England, United Kingdom, and other places,
en el Reino Unido y en otros lugares,
if you were to implant such a child in the womb,
si tú implantas un niño de ese tipo,
you go to jail.
Tú vas a la cárcel.
It is the practice since 1991 all over the world,
esto se practica desde el 91 en todo el mundo,
that the genetically imperfect,
que los genéticamente perfectos,
are destroyed. The church is a living in time.
La iglesia está viviendo en el tiempo.
And the church is seeing this culture of death grow,
la iglesia ha visto cómo esta cultura de la muerte,
and has been responding to it.
Y ha venido respondiendo a esta cultura.
So we have a number of documents with the word life, vitae.
Y tenemos una serie de documentos con esta palabra, vida, vitae.
Humanae vitae, donum vitae, evangelium vitae. You know, don't worry. know. They know. I deal with seminarians. They're bright. The church, you see, the church is responding to this cult, this constant attack on life, this culture of death, with these documents. So in the 60s, What was under attack was marriage itself and the process of procreation. And Paul VI had to affirm that the proper place for life to come into existence is in the context of family, is the result of an act of love. And the unitive aspect, husband-wife, must not be deliberately separated from mother and father, the procreative aspect. If you do that, you deny God's plan. Human sexuality is beautiful. Why? Because it brings a human person into existence that is forever. To love God, to love mom and dad, to love others. Sexuality is God calling a man and a woman on a natural level to do the most perfect thing you could possibly do. To cooperate with God in bringing a human being into existence who is forever. They cooperate with God because every time a human being comes into existence, there's a new act of creation. God makes the soul. That's why every child's an irrepeatable gift of God. Every child is not only genetically unique, their soul is unique. They are unique. And we must affirm that. And so it was, once you separate the act of sexuality from life, from God, from love, you could not argue against homosexuality. With the first contraceptive act, we had homosexuality. Your act is sterile. So is ours. But we love each other. What's the difference? The first time you had the contraceptive act, you had in vitro fertilization. You had laboratory reproduction. Because the world said, if we use technology to help you separate the act of sexuality from life and love and make it just pleasure, disregarding God's plan, well, why can't we now grow life in the laboratories and separate it from love and sexuality? And we'll make the perfect human race. We'll eliminate God's mistakes. There won't be haphazard abortions. And so was Cardinal Ratzinger with Donum Vitae. He said, as Paul VI said to you in Humani Vitae, you must not separate the act of love and sexuality from life and God. I now say to you, you must not have human life separated from the act of human love and sexuality. But we did. By 95, John Paul II, March 25th, gave us Evangelium Vitae. And he said, now what's under attack is not just the process of procreation, life in the womb, but life from the womb to the tomb. Namely, euthanasia. And so the church has been responding to this culture of death with these, the truth. You must proclaim that truth. You must speak that truth. We are going into darkness. I go all over the world. We have the helpers on the five continents of the world. But I'm telling you this. We are running out of time. Family itself is under tremendous attack. No society can survive without the basic stone or building block that must be there no matter what type of society you have. It's called family. And that is being lost. And so the great source of wisdom to the world,
la gran fuente de sabiduría en el mundo,
by the way, is an aside.
Esta es una cosa aparte.
Please, when you go home,
cuando vayan a su casa,
go on your computers,
vayan a sus computadoras,
and look at what we have, a website up there called We Want to Be Taught.
Y busquen el sitio web que es en inglés, We Need to Be Taught.
We Want to Be Taught.
We want to be taught.
Okay. .com.
Nosotros necesitamos ser enseñados.
It's an initiative that from lay people,
de gente laica,
religious and priests,
sacerdotes religiosos,
that's going to change the world.
Que va a cambiar el mundo.
What is this?
¿Qué es esto?
You know how the priest is told,
¿ya saben ustedes cómo al sacerdote se le dice,
to take the scripture on Sunday,
de tomar las escrituras los domingos,
and try to find some place in the catechism that he can apply to?
Y entonces buscar un pasaje en el catecismo al que le pueda aplicar la escritura.
It's very, very difficult.
Es muy difícil.
It becomes chaotic.
Y se vuelve caótico.
We are now asking Pope Francis, and he has all this now, which I need your prayers, okay? We're asking, we said, Paul VI guided us through Vatican II. The teachings of Vatican II and what the Church believed before Vatican II was presented to John Paul II.
Y entonces las enseñanzas del Vaticano II que fueron llevadas a Juan Pablo II.
He gave us the Catholic Catechism.
Juan Pablo II nos dio el catecismo.
Benedict XVI.
El Papa Benedicto.
He gave us the compendium.
Él nos dio el compendium.
The compendium, he reduced the Catholic Catechism to 170 pages.
El compendio reduce la enseñanza del catecismo a 170 páginas.
It's question answers, question answers. We are now asking Pope Francis to take us the next step. We want a catechetical lectionary for the ordinary Sundays of the year, starting 2014. The catechism is divided into three sections. The creed, Mass and the sacraments,
la misa y los sacramentos,
the commandments of God and prayer.
Y los sacramentos y la oración.
In the ordinary Sundays of the year, A, B, and C, we want the priest to be able to speak about and the deacons about the creed.
Nosotros queremos que los sacerdotes y los diáconos puedan hablar acerca del credo.
Year B on the sacraments and the mass.
Y el año B y C sobre los sacramentos y la misa.
Year C.
El año C.
On the commandments of God and prayer.
De que se abren los mandamientos y la oración.
To allow them to do this.
Para ayudarlos a hacer esto.
We are petitioning the Holy Father.
Estamos haciendo una petición al Santo Padre.
It's rather simple. Instead of putting the cart before the horse,
en lugar de poner el,
we want to put the horse before the cart. Instead of putting the cart, the wagon before the horse, we want to put the horse before the wagon. Don't worry, they understand. Now, what we're asking is this.
Lo que estamos pidiendo es esto.
They want a homily. How many you talk on the scriptures? We want to catechize. The people do not know their faith. They have not been taught in 40 years. They need to learn their catechism. We combine both. We have a catechetical lectionary for the ordinary Sundays of the year.
Para los domingos ordinarios del año.
Namely, systematically, every priest starts the beginning of the catechism all together teaching the same thing at the same time.
Todos los sacerdotes estarán enseñando sistemáticamente al mismo tiempo el catecismo.
And the scripture, the lectionary, will be based on what they're teaching. That will determine the scriptures.
Entonces, el leccionario será determinado por el catecismo.
You will not be having the priest to say, "Here's the scripture. Find something in the catechism."
No vas a tener al sacerdote diciendo, "Aquí está la escritura. Encuentra algo en el catecismo."
No, we're going to say, "Father, start the very beginning. Teach." And we'll pick the scriptures to suit what you're teaching. And that will be done on 26 Sundays of the year. There's 34 ordinary Sundays. We leave 8 for the special feasts. We don't touch any of the seasons of the year in the church. 26 is half of 50. 26 is half of 52. It means half of the year the priest will be catechizing, the deacon will be catechizing in a systematically fashion, everyone teaching the same thing at the same time all over the world. The church has the greatest medium outlet in the world.
La iglesia tiene el medio de difusión más grande en el mundo.
It's called the pulpit.
Se llama púlpito.
And if that pulpit was being used at the same time by every priest teaching the same thing,
si ese púlpito se utilizara para que todos los sacerdotes enseñaran la misma cosa al mismo tiempo,
within 3 years you go through the whole catechism.
En tres años tú te avientas todo el catecismo.
Within one decade, 3 times.
Y en una década, 3 veces.
And suddenly we would have an informed, practicing, worshiping community.
Y tendríamos una comunidad de adoración que va practicando la fe.
That would change the world.
Que cambiará el mundo.
If we must evangelize in this year of faith.
Nosotros tenemos que evangelizar en este año de la fe.
But the evangelization must start with the people of God.
Pero para evangelizar tenemos que empezar con la gente de Dios.
And if we do that.
Y si nosotros hacemos eso.
We will change the world.
Nosotros vamos a cambiar el mundo.
I got an affirmation from the secretary, the Vatican secretary.
Yo tuve una respuesta del secretario del Vaticano.
Just before I left.
Antes de venirme para acá.
And they now have it under consideration.
Y no está bajo consideración.
I want your prayers.
Y quiero sus oraciones.
I want you to go up to the website, sign on, and say granted.
Quiero que vean ese sitio web y que firmen.
It will be incredible.
Será increíble.
And it's our only hope as I see it.
Y es la única esperanza, así como
because we are running out of time.
Porque se nos está acabando el tiempo.
Our people are being given the gospel of this world and buying it and telling the church to change her teaching. But if they know the teachings of the church, which are magnificent and beautiful and true,
pero si ellos conocieran las enseñanzas de la iglesia, que son magníficas, hermosas y verdaderas,
they will be proud of it. And they want to make it known to others. Please do that. Let me just get back to this last point. It took me a long time to learn. About 22 years. How to do it right. I started the helper's approach 24 years ago. We went through everything. We did all-night prayer vigils. I was the first one to withhold taxes in America. We got the Hyde Amendment. In America, we have what we call Operation Rescue. They're blocking the doors of the clinics. I remember the first time I was arrested. So my fellow priest said to me, "Phil, you'll never be a bishop." I said, "Why?" They said, "Because you were arrested." I said, "When did they change the rules?" I said, "I thought that was a condition." I thought the first apostles,
yo pensé que los primeros apóstoles,
in witnessing to the truth,
dando testimonio a la verdad,
they were all arrested.
Todos fueron arrestados.
I thought my leader, in witnessing to the truth,
yo pensé que mi líder dando testimonio a la verdad,
they put him to death.
Lo pusieron, mataron.
I thought they give you that scarlet cassock because you're supposed to shed your blood for the truth.
Yo pensé que te daban la estola para derramar tu sangre por la verdad.
I said, when did they change the rules? I thought I was one up on you guys. They didn't change the rules. At the first Calvary, there's only one bishop. We're trying to keep the record going. We went through everything. And especially in America, we were in a state of shock when it happened. And they tried to go through the political system to change it. But I said to you, for you and I was a shock. But for the culture of death, this was well planned and in place. It was the culmination of their victory. And we were not going to change it. It was going to get worse. And so eventually, I guess it was 24 years ago, I was in chapel. And I was in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And I basically said to Christ, I give up. I can't do it. See? And God said to me, as he said to Joshua, as he said to Gideon, you can't do it, but I can. And I said, what should I do? He said, what you do is this. You take your rosary and you go outside of an abortion clinic and begin to pray. And I said, that's going to do it. I said, I need an army. This was worse than Gideon. God said, I'll give you an army. He gave me three grandmothers, one grandfather, and one working girl. I went with my army. And we stood outside the abortion clinic, the largest one in New York City. They were doing 20,000 abortions a year at that place. They were doing it through 6 months. And we felt so hopeless and helpless. And then from Mexico, they sent a missionary image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And we brought Our Lady to the first abortion clinic in the United States. And everything began to change. Suddenly, what happened was we had a new bishop. Bishop Daly. And he came, and I was the rector of the seminary. And he came and said his first Mass at the seminary. And after Mass, he came over to me. And I thought he was going to ask me, how are the fellows doing? Who's going on? Instead, he said to me, Monsignor, I understand you pray outside of abortion clinics. Well, I thought to myself, I've been rector long enough. And I said, yes, Bishop, I do. He said, would you mind if I came and prayed with you? I said, Bishop, if you come, could I tell the world? He says, do what you want. And so that's how we started. We went to the local parish that was near the abortion mill. And I said to the pastor, could we have a Mass for life? He said, well, I said, the bishop would like to say it.
He
said, oh yes, you can have a mass for life. Instead of the police coming and carrying me away from the abortion mills, I decided to have a new approach. I would bring the police with me. And so we did. We incorporated as a non-membership organization. And we went to the police and told the police we are going to have this procession and we'd like them to accompany us. Well, the day came and more than 1,000 people came. Bishop Daly said the Mass. The police met us at the doors of the church. It's a rather simple format. It's imitated all over the world. We begin by offering the blood of Jesus to our Father at Mass. At the end of the Mass, we expose the Blessed Sacrament. We have some people staying to adoration. The priest, the bishop, we go in, we change to our clothes, street clothes. We come back out, we start the rosary in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Everybody present keeps the conversation between God and the Blessed Lady, and there's no talking. Everybody has a sheet on it with 15 hymns. The Our Lady of Guadalupe, his image is there. The bishop of the priest or the priest comes and he starts the rosary. When we get to the first joyful mystery, we stand up. And then the image of our Blessed Lady goes first. Usually carried by two men. Then the bishop or the priest follows behind. Then the people from the first rows follow out behind. Our conversation is with God and our Blessed Lady. There is no talking. We use walkie-talkies.
Radios.
And the priest or the bishop says the first part of the prayers. Everybody responds. Bishop gets to the doors of the church. Who is there? The New York City Police Department. They say, Bishop, are you ready? We are ready. They close down the streets. And suddenly you have the New York City Police cars going first. Then the Mother of God. Then the bishops and priests. Then God's people. And we're on our way to Calvary. And suddenly, outside this clinic, was more than 1,000 people. And the police standing there with respect. The media it was covered throughout the country. And they said, this is a new and peaceful, prayerful way, and they have a right to do this. And while we were standing there in prayer in the middle of Queens Boulevard, any woman that were coming were given materials where they could be helped. And I said, God, you are giving me an army. And it ended up that Bishop Garmendia was the next bishop to do it in New York. But then it has spread through the country. More than 100 bishops now lead the prayer vigils to Calvary.
santuario.
In America alone, 7 cardinals have led the prayer vigils.
Y solamente en los Estados Unidos, 7 cardenales han dirigido estas vigilias de oración.
But now God has spread through the world.
Pero ahora Dios lo ha expandido ya por todo
with,
el mundo.
With the same results.
Con los mismos resultados.
Just be this recently, the largest, oldest abortion clinic in New York City.
Y solamente recientemente la clínica más grande y antigua de Nueva York.
Started in 1971.
Que empezó en 1971.
Was not only not, it was finished.
Se terminó.
But it's a miracle of grace.
Pero eso es un milagro de Dios.
The owners were converted.
Los dueños de esa clínica se convirtieron.
It's a total place of healing.
Es ahora un lugar totalmente de sanación.
It wasn't closed and someone else moved in.
Y no es que alguien más haya mudado adentro de esa clínica.
This was the largest.
Esa era la más grande.
They had 4 state-of-the-art operating suites in it, 53 rooms.
Tenían 53 habitaciones.
It shook the city.
Y era un choque.
It was in the papers.
Estaba en los
special meeting in the city council.
Hubo una junta especial del municipio de la ciudad.
But it was the 25th abortion clinic that closed in New York City. Since we started to do it God's way. We do a prayer vigil once a month. And we rotate to different places. But wherever we do the prayer vigil, we send people there directly to the site.
Nosotros enviamos gente directamente al sitio.
Who set it up an exhibit for life?
Que pongan una exhibición de la vida.
They have the prayer books that we will share with you all in Spanish.
Donde tienen ahí libros de oración que algunos están en.
And people counsel.
Y gente haciendo consejería.
And suddenly the need for life centers became desperate.
Entonces la necesidad de centros de ayuda se devuelve.
In America now we have more than 4,000 life centers.
Nosotros en los Estados Unidos tenemos alrededor de 4 centros de vida, centros de ayuda.
Thanks be to God.
Gracias a Dios.
You see, and so the change is radical.
El cambio es radical.
Now, this is what I must stress.
Tengo que enfatizar.
The children dying. From an abortion are not part of the culture of death. They receive the effects of the culture of death. Your main purpose of going to pray outside an abortion clinic like tomorrow morning, this may sound funny, it's not the main purpose is to save babies. Oh, God knows we want to.
Oh, Dios sabe que queremos.
But it's to save souls.
Pero es salvar almas.
This is Calvary.
Esto es el Calvario.
Jesus went to Calvary.
Jesús fue al Calvario.
To save the souls.
Para salvar las almas.
Of the people putting him to death.
De las personas que lo estaban matando.
That must be your primary motivation,
esto
same as Jesus.
Su principal motivación, la motivación de Jesús.
If you do not change the heart of the mother,
si tú no cambias el corazón de la madre,
you delay an abortion, you don't stop it.
Entonces tú no detienes el aborto.
If you change the heart,
si tú cambias el corazón,
you stop the abortion,
detienes el aborto,
and you save the mother.
Y tal, salvas a la mujer.
Now, at the foot of the cross,
al pie de la cruz,
one of the thieves we're told was converted before Jesus died.
Uno de los que estaban ahí se convirtió antes de que Jesús
muriera. And he asked to be part of the kingdom.
Y quiso ser parte del reino.
The centurion, the soldier.
El centurión y el soldado.
It wasn't until Jesus died.
No fue hasta que Jesús murió.
And he put the lance into the side of the heart of Jesus.
Y le puso la lanzada en el corazón de Jesús.
Matthew tells us the heavens went dark. And then the soldier said it. My God, this was the Son of God. His conversion started. Let me explain. Most of the women coming to the abortion clinic, not most, all of them, they have problems. And they're real. And the world says to them, if you have an abortion, it will bring back yesterday.
And you can get on with your life again.
Y tú podrás tener tu vida de nuevo.
And it will resolve your problem.
Y resuelves tu problema.
They want to believe that lie.
Las mujeres quieren creer esa mentira.
3/4 of them do believe that lie.
Tres cuartos creen esa mentira.
And they go in.
Y se van adentro.
And their first reaction in the recovery room after the abortion
y la primera reacción cuando se recuperan de un aborto
is, thanks be to God, my womb is empty. I can get on with my life again.
Puedo continuar con mi vida de nuevo.
And 20 minutes later,
y 20 minutos después,
the same woman says,
la misma mujer dice,
my God, my womb is empty.
Oh, Dios mío, mi útero está vacío.
It was a child of God.
Era un hijo de Dios.
And her self-esteem goes down to the ground.
Y la autoestima se va hasta el suelo.
And she feels neither man nor anyone could or should love her again.
Y entonces ella siente que no puede ver a nadie más.
Now, if you are there to save babies,
si tú vas ahí a salvar bebés,
you are long since gone. You are gone. When she comes back out,
cuando ella sale de ahí,
there are no pro-lifers there.
Los pro-vida están ahí.
She may 20 years from now call for some type of help.
En 20 años ella va a buscar un tipo de ayuda.
80% of them will not call for help.
80% no buscarán ayuda.
But we know who they are and where they are.
Pero nosotros sabemos quiénes son y dónde están.
I spend long hours outside the abortion clinics, 5 days a week.
Yo paso muchas horas afuera de la clínica, 5 días a la semana.
And I teach the helpers to do so.
Y les enseño a los ayudantes.
Because we talk to them not only before the abortion, but after the abortion.
Porque nosotros estamos ahí para enseñarles a las mujeres antes del aborto y después del aborto.
It is the teachable moment.
Y es un momento para enseñar.
When she comes back out, she feels, she'll say to me, Father, after what I did, could God ever love me again?
Entonces, cuando ella sale, se pregunta, ¿podría Dios quererme de nuevo?
I say, Mother, wrong question.
Y esa es la pregunta equivocada.
I can answer that one quickly.
Yo puedo responder esa muy rápido.
God never stopped loving you.
Dios nunca dejará de amarte.
He loved us when we were sinful, came into the world.
Él nos amó cuando éramos pecadores y vino a este mundo.
He never stopped loving you.
Él nunca dejó de amarte.
God has the question for you, Mother.
Dios tiene una pregunta para ti, Madre.
Will you love God again?
¿Tú podrás querer a Dios de nuevo?
And then the conversion begins.
Y entonces empieza.
If you touch that mother's heart, after the abortion, 100% of the time that is pleasing to God. In America, at every major city, there's a 50% repeat rate. What does that mean? If you touch the heart of a mother after the abortion, 50% of the time you're saving the next child. Want to save children? Save mothers. It's incredibly important, you know. Sometimes we have artists depict Jesus as dying alone and abandoned. It's Psalm 22:23, where he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's not quite true. The Psalm, my God, is a description of the passion of Christ.
El salmo es una descripción de la pasión de Cristo.
It is not hopeless.
No es desesperanza.
It ends up in hope.
Y porque termina en esperanza.
And when Jesus was hanging on the cross,
cuando Jesús estaba colgando de la cruz,
he was surrounded by love.
Él estaba rodeado de amor,
compassion.
Compasión.
He was surrounded by prayer.
Y es, él estaba rodeado de oración.
My God, he looked down and he saw Mary Magdalene. He saw John, he saw his mother. The unborn children should not die without someone being there, recognizing their existence, praying for them, suffering with them, loving them. God help us if there was no one at Calvary. You know, Mary was a Jewish mother.
María era todavía judía entonces.
What do I mean by that?
¿Qué significa eso?
She spoke to her son.
Ella sí habló.
I know what she said to him.
Y dijo,
she said, Jesus,
dijo Jesús,
you are a priest.
Tú eres sacerdote.
You became a priest at the moment of conception in my womb.
Tú te convertiste en sacerdote en el momento de la concepción.
You united humanity and divinity in your person. I understand Jesus, this is the sacrifice.
Yo entiendo el sacrificio de Jesús.
This is your priestly moment.
Este es tu momento sacerdotal.
You are never more pleasing to your father.
Tú nunca has sido más, placentero a tu padre.
And what did she say to Jesus?
¿Y qué fue lo que le dijo Jesús?
She said, Jesus, you stay right on that cross. And I will be here praying with you and for you until it ends. Because you are redeeming the world. We have to be present. As was Mary and John at the foot of the cross. The unborn should not be dying without someone being there to witness it. Why was it only five? Where were the other 11 apostles? They were afraid. Why? The crowd was yelling, Barabbas, Barabbas. Choice.
Elección, decidir.
And only five were there saying, Jesus, Jesus. But imagine if those five were not there to tell us the farewell words of Jesus. Isn't it interesting? 2,000 years later, everybody knows the five that were there at the original Calvary. You say, well, all the babies died. My friends, at the first Calvary, there were no turnarounds. Jesus died. But he rose from the dead. And if you are present there, everything happens. You must be present there. Be not afraid of the mob. Because I have news for you. On Friday evening, Good Friday, when the mob went home, you want to see depression. Not just the woman, but all those who were present, you see, bringing the woman to the abortion mill. You are there to bring a change of heart to this culture. You are there at Calvary to say, this is God's precious infants. This is the wrong answer. And only if you are present at these sites will any politician have credibility when he stands up in Congress and says we should stop this. If there's no one at the site, you will never pass a law stopping it. Do not just become involved in the political arena. In education. All these things are important. You must be at the site where the babies are dying and the Calvary is taking place. And I urge you who are from other states where abortion is not taking place, please do this. Have a mass. Do everything I just told you before with procession and prayer. Set up a shrine in honor of Our Lady Guadalupe to protect the unborn children. Go there in prayer. And when you are there, read like a proclamation. And say, we want the people in Mexico City today to know.
Nosotros queremos que la gente de la ciudad de México
We are in spiritual solidarity with you at this moment. We are one with you. We want you to know that. And when the time comes that we can be physically present with you at Calvary, we will be there. And then you come back in prayer to the church. This will stop politicians in all the other states from passing laws and voting for abortion. Our Lady of Guadalupe is saving lives all over the world. She should be of all places doing it here in Mexico. Bring it to the streets. Bring her in processions. Ask her intercession. And if you do, you will find that death will give way to life, darkness to light, hate to love, and a culture of life will flourish here in Mexico. God bless you.
Muchísimas gracias, Monseñor Philip Brady, por su extraordinaria exposición. A continuación, Rocío Galvez,
presidente de la Comisión de Pro-Life Committee, entregará un pequeño presente por su presentación.
For being so faithful, for teaching us how, where should we be when we get discouraged to our Lord. This little candle has an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Gracias, Monseñor, por enseñarnos a dónde tenemos que ir cuando nos estemos cayendo en la desesperanza, la desmotivación.
Thanks for being so brave.
Gracias por ser tan valiente.
So faithful.
Tan fiel.
We are giving this candle with a little image of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Estamos dando esta vela con la imagen de Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe.
So you can carry her.
O sea que usted la puede llevar.
In an easier way.
En cualquier lugar.
May our Lord bless you.